third chapter.
Sister.
Please keep your phone with her.
पॉज कर दिया
हरे कृष्ण ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
थर्ड चैप्टर ऑफ भगवद गीता एंटाइटल्ड कर्म योग इन द सेकंड चैप्टर ऑफ भगवद गीता Krishna started speaking, and to the questions of Arjuna, to all the doubts and confusions of Arjuna, Krishna gave a wonderful description of the science of soul, or jnana, the knowledge of matter and spirit, in the second chapter, 11th verse till 30th verse. After that he spoke about sakama karma, then he also spoke about nishkama karma yoga or buddhi yoga, then he spoke about the qualities of sthita prajna, or a person who is rooted in his knowledge. Okay, so that's a summary of the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Now Prabhupada explains that in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna touched on many topics, right? There is karma yoga there, there is jnana yoga there, there is buddhi yoga, nishkama karma yoga of course, and qualities of sthita prajna. So like that, several aspects Krishna touched, but very briefly. Okay, although he mentioned about karma yoga, he did not give so many details of karma yoga. So Prabhupada writes, what Krishna has summarized in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he elaborates in the later chapters. Okay, so the karma yoga that Krishna touches upon in the second chapter, he elaborates in the third chapter, and of course in the fifth chapter also. Okay, so second chapter is thus entitled as Contents of Gita Summarized. So Krishna gave a prelude to the Bhagavad Gita by presenting different topics such as Sankhya Yoga, Karma Kanda, Buddhi Yoga, Karma Yoga, and so on. So, from now, there is a more detailed and organized outline of all these topics from the third chapter. Fine. So, the third chapter specifically describes Nishkama Karma Yoga, or the great art of doing your work, doing your prescribed duties. Okay. What should be the spirit in which you should do that prescribed duties is described here. So Krishna also describes in this chapter the discrimination necessary for a person desiring to conquer over this material lust that impels a person to perform so many material activities. Fine. So let's go deep into the chapter, shloka by shloka. And one more thing that we need to remember while reading this chapter is, this karma yoga, the word karma, means different things in different contexts. Okay. Sometimes karma, the basic meaning of karma is activity. And in some contexts, karma could mean fruitive activity. Means an activity which is intended to generate certain outcome. You perform certain activity with a desire to attain certain result. That is called fruitive activity. Okay. So that these are two meanings of karma. Another meaning, sometimes karma is used in the sense of getting reaction for certain activity. Okay. So reaction to certain activity. Or the entire chain of action and reactions is called karma. Fine. Karma is, basic meaning is an action. Or fruitive action, or reaction to an action, or the whole chain of actions and reactions. So it all depends on the context. Fine. Now let's go verse by verse. First sloka. Arjuna uvacha. Jayasi chet karmanaste. Mata buddhir janardana. Tatkim karmani ghorema. Niyo jayasi keshava. Jayasi chet karmanaste. Mata buddhir janardana. Here Arjuna gets a very serious question in the beginning of third chapter. Fine. So what's his question and what is the reason behind his question? In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 49th shloka, Krishna said, Durena hi avaram karma. You remember that verse? Durena hi avaram karma buddhi yoga dhananjaya. Krishna spoke about Buddhi Yoga and Krishna said, you keep aside all abominable actions far away from Buddhi Yoga. Durena hi avaram karma. Avaram karma means abominable actions. Okay. That you keep far aside from this knowledge of Buddhi Yoga. So what Krishna meant was, you engage yourself in Buddhi Yoga and keep aside all abominable actions means what is an abominable action from Krishna's perspective? Fruitive activity is abominable action, or sakama karma is abominable action. Doing your prescribed duty in expectation of some material results in return and getting attached to those material results. So that is avaram karma from Krishna's perspective. Fine. So, in Arjuna's context, karma is fighting. His prescribed duty is fighting. Fine. So, Arjuna thought avaram karma or abominable action means fighting. Okay. But Krishna is speaking more in terms of fighting with a fruitive mentality is condemned. Not fighting as a matter of duty. With the renunciation and with the detached spirit. That kind of fighting is not avaram karma. You understand? So, Arjuna thought that fighting is an abominable action and buddhi yoga or intelligence means to renounce that fighting. That's Arjuna's understanding. But Krishna is urging Arjuna that this fight, you may think that this fight is abominable action, but it is not if you perform that fighting with a detached mode and with knowledge. Fine. So that's what ultimately Krishna will tell Arjuna. So now let's understand what Arjuna says here. Jayasi chet karmanaste mata buddhir janardana. O Janardana, O Krishna, O Keshava, if you think that intelligence, buddhi, is better than karma or action, then why do you engage me in this ghastly warfare? Okay, jayasi chet karmanaste mata buddhir. Buddhi and karma, there is a competition between these two terminologies in Arjuna's mind. If you think buddhi is better than karma, why do you want me to engage in this karma of fighting? Okay, so I am bewildered by your equivocal instructions. Okay. Arjuna thought engaging in buddhi yoga means not fighting at all. Okay. So, please explain to me. So, tatkim karmani ghoremam. He says karmani ghora. Krishna said avaram karma in the previous chapter. Now, Arjuna is saying ghoram karma. That's a very ghastly karma. Okay. So, mam niyojayasi keshava. Niyojayasi means why do you engage me in this warfare? We'll discuss the second shloka also, then come to the purport. Second, Vyamishreneva Vakyena Buddhim Mohayasi Vame Tadekam Vada Nishchityam Yena Shreyoham Apnuyam. Vyamishreneva Vakyena means equivocal instructions. means you don't find a very clear bias towards one thing there. Ye bhi karo, wo bhi karo. This also you do, that also you do. That seems little confusing. Which are you emphasizing more? Sometimes you say you perform your prescribed karma, and other times you say you should renounce karma. But actually Krishna is consistent, but the consistency in Krishna's words is not understandable by Arjuna at this stage. Okay, or Arjuna is representing a common man. Okay. Vyamishreneva vakyena buddhim mohayasivame. My intelligence is getting bewildered. Okay. Tadekam vada nishchitya. Ekam vada nishchitya. Nishchitya means certainly. Ekam vada. You speak about one thing. Should I do buddhi yoga or should I do karma? Krishna says both are same. Okay. How both are same? That will become more clear and clear till the end of fifth chapter. This third, fourth and fifth chapters together essentially speak same thing. Okay. We'll summarize it little later. So, let me just go through the verse by verse. But there is a lot of repetition within these three chapters. Krishna is ultimately making only one point through all this. Even in sixth chapter also. Sixth chapter, of course, there are certain details of Ashtanga Yoga. But from second chapter till fifth chapter, Krishna is describing Karma Yoga only. Krishna is recommending Karma Yoga. Although he is describing Sankhya or Jnana and Ashtanga, he is recommending Karma Yoga. Okay. Let's go to that, gradually. So, you understood Arjuna's question in these two verses. Arjuna is basically saying that you have told me keep aside abominable actions, karma, and stick to buddhi yoga. But why do you want me to engage in this war? That is an abominable action. That's his understanding. Fine. So, basically, to summarize Arjuna's question, renunciation or action? What am I supposed to do? Action is karma, jnana is renunciation. Means, when someone is knowledgeable, he will surpass the necessity to do the prescribed duties. Okay? So, it is prescribed for everyone to follow, but because you have developed a lot of knowledge and also the resultant detachment of that knowledge, so you need not do your prescribed activities. Fine? So, in that sense, Jnana Yoga involves sannyasa also. Okay? So, the culmination of performing your prescribed duties should be Jnana. Means, by performing your prescribed duties, you will acquire knowledge. And thus, you will be detached from material activities. So, the culmination of Karma Yoga becomes Jnana Yoga accompanied by Vairagya. So, if one is qualified for Jnana, then he can give up karma. But prematurely giving up karma, prescribed activities, thinking that I am knowledgeable and I can be detached, will not sustain for long. That's what Krishna will explain in the coming verses. So, Prabhupada gives a very Krishna-conscious understanding of these two verses here. Prabhupada says, sometimes Krishna consciousness is misunderstood to be inertia. And one with such a misunderstanding often withdraws to a secluded place to become fully Krishna conscious by chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna. But without being trained in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, it is not advisable to chant Hare Krishna in a secluded place just to get some cheap adoration of innocent public. So, one cannot immaturely or prematurely give up one's prescribed activities. One should be very carefully and consciously perform his prescribed duties without prematurely giving them up. Okay. So, Arjuna also thought that buddhi yoga or intelligence in spiritual advancement of knowledge as something like retirement from active life and the practice of penance and austerity in a secluded place. So, he skillfully wanted to avoid fighting using this as an excuse. Okay. So, you understood the question. More details of answer will have the whole chapter left. But question is clear. So, should I do buddhi or karma? Action or renunciation? If you have buddhi, then you can renounce action. That's what it's implied. Okay, let's have more and more understanding of this. Third verse onwards, Krishna starts speaking. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha,
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha,
Lokesmin Vividha Nishtham,
Lokesmin Vividha Nishtham,
Pura Prokta Mayanagham,
Pura Prokta Mayanagham,
Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam,
Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam,
Karma Yogena Yoginam,
Karma Yogena Yoginam.
So, Lokesmin Vividha Nishtha. There are two categories of people in this world. What is this categorization based upon? Nishtha. Nishtha means their faith. There are people of two kinds of faith in this world. Lokesmin, Loke Asmin, Dvividha, Nishtha. Pura Prokta Maya Anagha. Oh Anagha, oh sinless Arjuna. I have already spoken about this earlier. Pura Prokta. Fine. So, Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam. Who are they? Krishna says in the next two lines. So, first he says, Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam means the practitioners of Jnana Yoga or Sankhya Yoga. Okay? Jnana means knowledge, literal meaning. Sankhya means analysis. Fine? You can equate both Jnana and Sankhya and then say analytical knowledge. Knowledge that you develop based on analysis of matter and spirit or body and soul. So that is Jnana Yoga or Sankhya Yoga. That you have, and Jnana or Sankhya is that. Yoga means trying to link with the Supreme. Fine? So whenever you find yoga, we need to understand there is linking to the Supreme. Fine? So, if your linking with the Supreme is based on your prescribed activities, it is called Karma Yoga. And if your linking with the Supreme Lord is based on cultivation of knowledge and analysis of matter and spirit, that is called Jnana Yoga or Sankhya Yoga. And if your linking with the Supreme is based on your meditation, that is called Ashtanga Yoga. And if your linking with the Supreme is based on your performance of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam and all these devotional activities, that is called Bhakti Yoga. So Bhagavad Gita describes these four only. Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. Fine. So now one category of personalities, one category of yogis or spiritual seekers is Jnana Yoga or Sankhya Yoga practitioners. Fine. Now fourth line. Karma Yogena Yoginam. So Karma Yoga. Second category of practitioners are Karma Yogis or Buddhi Yogis. So Karma Yoga and Buddhi Yoga become equivalent in this context. Fine. So when there is only the word karma, then you can understand it is prescribed activity or fruitive activity or just activity or a reaction to an activity or a system of reaction and actions. When you say Karma Yoga, you are doing your prescribed activity and trying to connect with the Supreme. So when you have to connect with the Supreme by doing your prescribed activity, you should be doing it with a selfless intent. So there should be some detachment in that. So detachment is embedded within Karma Yoga. In Karma Yoga, you are doing prescribed activity. Because it is Karma Yoga, there is detachment also involved in it. Next, there should be knowledge also. Unless you have some knowledge about the Supreme, how can you dedicate your activities to the Supreme? How can your activity can be called Karma Yoga? So Karma Yoga basically means working for the Supreme. Okay? But in the initial stages of Karma Yoga, you do not have sufficient knowledge and detachment and you are just beginning to cultivate them. You understand? So, you are doing your prescribed duties that is very prominent in your activities, right? I have to do my prescribed activities. That is called Karma Yoga. And you do not have sufficient knowledge and detachment. That means you are in the beginning stages of Karma Yoga. You are working for the Supreme, but without sufficient knowledge, without sufficient detachment, and more on the level of performing prescribed duties. Fine. But when you are more and more advanced, your knowledge will increase, your detachment also will increase, and you will continue to perform your prescribed duties. Fine. So that's how Karma Yoga will mature into Bhakti Yoga. And when Prabhupada writes Karma Yoga is equivalent to Krishna consciousness or Bhakti Yoga, that is perfectly bona fide. He is speaking about the highest stage of performing Karma Yoga. You understand? So Karma Yoga basically is performing your prescribed duties for the Supreme. But a beginner or neophyte performs prescribed duties for the Supreme without sufficient knowledge, without sufficient detachment. But a very mature Karma Yogi, he performs activities only for the Supreme with full knowledge and with full detachment. Okay? So in some context, the Karma Yoga indicates the beginning stages. In some context, the Karma Yoga indicates advanced stages. We need to understand what is the context. But here, nothing is of that sort is mentioned. Just Krishna just mentioned two kinds of people are there. Number one, Jnana Yogis. Number two, Karma Yogis. Fine? So Jnana Yogis means they have full knowledge and detachment also. And with that knowledge and detachment, they connect with the Supreme. But Karma Yogis means if they are beginners, they do not have sufficient knowledge and detachment, and they are trying to connect with the Supreme by performing their prescribed duties. More details are coming up. Okay. That's what. In the beginning stages, knowledge and detachment are not there sufficiently in a Karma Yogi. But when you mature in your practice of Karma Yoga, that's what. Nishkama Karma Yoga is the complete description of Karma Yoga. When you say Karma Yoga, Yoga means you are linking with the Supreme, with your karma activity. That means Nishkama has to be there. You understand? So Nishkama Karma Yoga or Karma Yoga both mean more or less the same. Because detachment is already there. In short, it is Nishkama Karma Yoga. It is Karma Yoga. However, that's an advanced stage. However, in the beginning stages, that Nishkama element is not so prominent. Okay? You are linking with the Supreme, but still your detachment is not up to the mark. So in that case, you are a beginner of Nishkama Karma Yoga or Karma Yoga. You are a practitioner. So when you become very mature, then you go to the next stage of Jnana Yoga. You can even give up your prescribed duty. You ask, what is the difference? Yeah, there is difference in a neophyte Karma Yogi and a Jnana Yogi. There is not much difference between a mature Karma Yogi and Jnana Yogi. They both are same. That's why after Karma Yoga, the next stage is Jnana Yoga. You understand? So the next stage. So the transition, to do the transition, it takes a lot of time. Let's see, by the end of the chapter, it will become more and more clear. Okay. So, now the gist of this whole section that Krishna is going to speak from 3rd verse till 9th verse is, so liberation or bondage are not determined by one's activities, but by the consciousness in which one performs those activities. Fine. So thus, renunciation is not actually giving up action. Renunciation is giving up attachment to the results of action. Fine. So we need to understand that renunciation of activities without necessary knowledge and purification will lead to destruction on the path of spiritual advancement. You do not have sufficient knowledge and detachment. You just give up your prescribed duties, thinking that I am qualified for Jnana Yoga. So that will only delay the progress, destroy the progress. So, better you perform your prescribed duties, even with attachment in the beginning, no problem. Okay? Then, you can slowly cultivate attachment, cultivate detachment and knowledge. Then you are qualified for Jnana Yoga. Okay? So, without prescribed duties, an unfulfilled desire for activity will lead a premature renunciation to sinful activity. Okay, let's see more and more description. Just now we have received only titles. You understood the flow? Arjuna asked, should I do action or should I go in for renunciation? That's Arjuna's question in two verses. And Krishna just began his answer saying that there are two kinds of practitioners. Number one, karma yogis or buddhi yogis. Number two, jnana yogis or sankhya yogis. Is it clear? Till now, the flow? Explanation will become more and more clear. And the clarity will manifest up to fifth chapter as we just move ahead. So, Prabhupada writes in the purport. In the second chapter, verse number 39, the Lord explained two kinds of procedures, namely Sankhya Yoga and Karma Yoga or Buddhi Yoga. Fine. In this verse, the Lord explains the same more clearly. Sankhya Yoga, or analytical study of nature and spirit, nature of spirit and matter, is the subject matter of persons who are inclined to speculate and understand things by experimental knowledge and philosophy. Okay. So now Buddhi Yoga or Karma Yoga is doing your prescribed duties, right? While cultivating knowledge and detachment. So Prabhupada writes, religion without philosophy is sentiment or sometimes fanaticism, while philosophy without religion is mental speculation. So both should go. You can't just do your religious activities without having sufficient philosophical understanding. Or you can't just have philosophical understanding and then not do any action. So both are needed. Okay. Fourth sloka. Nakarmanam anarambhan naishkarmyam purushosnute nachasanyasanat eva siddhim samadhigachati nakarmanam anarambhan. Very beautiful words Krishna is speaking here. Karma is activity. Na karmana anarambhan. Arambha means beginning. So, if you don't begin an activity, that means if you abstain yourself from doing any prescribed activity. Na karmana anarambha means abstaining yourself from performing your prescribed duties. Right? Next. Naishkarmyam purushosnute. So, by not doing your prescribed duty, you cannot achieve the stage of naishkarmya. What is the stage of naishkarmya? Naishkarmya means literally no action. Or you need not perform an action. That's what naishkarmya is. Okay. So, means freedom from reaction. So, now if you take the meaning of the word karma as action in the word nishkama and naishkarmya, then freedom from action. But the intent in which Krishna mentions this word naishkarmya here is freedom from reaction. You understand? So, one example. What is the best way not to commit any offenses in chanting? Not chanting. People may think like that. By not chanting, I will not commit any offenses in chanting. Okay? Now you see this. Na karmanam anarambhan naishkarmyam purushosnute. So the first word is karma, not performing your prescribed duties. Next word is naishkarmya, that is freedom from reaction. So by not performing your activity, you may think that I will be freed from all reactions. That's what Arjuna said in one sense. In the first chapter he was saying, if I perform this fight, I will incur a lot of sinful reactions. So better I don't perform this fight only, then I will not have any sinful reactions. Krishna simply said, by avoiding this fight, you will not avoid sinful reactions. So avoiding reaction is not by avoiding action. It is by performing action dutifully in a detached spirit, then you can avoid reaction. Okay, no action is equivalent to no reaction. That's what Arjuna is proposing. But Krishna says, action plus detachment plus knowledge gives rise to no reaction. You understand? So just by merely abstaining from action, you will not be freed from reaction. Okay? That is, nakarmana manarambhat naishkarmyam purushosnute nacha sanyasana deva siddhim samati gacchati. And Krishna re-emphasizes the same point in the next two lines. Nacha sanyasana deva, sanyasa or sanyasa. Here is, now sanyasa can have two meanings. Number one, the renounced order of life. In the Varnashrama Dharma, there are four ashramas. Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi. Okay? So the sannyasa word may sometimes refer to the order of renunciation. Okay? And that sannyasa word can sometimes refer to giving up activity. Fine? And that sannyasa word sometimes refers to the spirit of renunciation while performing activity in any ashram. You understand? We always should understand the context in which the word is used. Sometimes the word sannyasa indicates the order of renunciation, wearing saffron clothes, saffron ropes, holding a danda, having shikha and all that. That is sannyasa. Sannyasa means order of renunciation. And in some other context, sannyasa means spirit of renunciation. And in some other context, sannyasa means just giving up action. It has nothing to do with renunciation or anything like that. You have given up action. That is also called sannyasa sometimes. So here, Krishna is using the third sense. Nacha sanyasana deva, just by giving up your action, siddhim samadhigacchati, you will not get any siddhi, you will not attain perfection. You understood this verse? Simple Sanskrit. Nakarmanam anarambhat naishkarmyam purushosnute. Just by merely abstaining from activity, you will not attain the stage of freedom from reactions. That is first two lines. Next. Nacha sanyasana deva siddhim samadhi gacchati. Just by giving up your prescribed activities, you will not get any siddhi. Fine? So the first line and third line are more or less same. Okay? You understood? First line and third line are same. First line he said, na karmana manarambha. Third line he said, nacha sanyasana deva. That is, both are referring to giving up your prescribed activities. The second line and fourth line, in spirit both are same. What is second line saying? Naishkarmya, freedom from reaction. The fourth line says siddhi, perfection. So the perfection, intended perfection here is freedom from reaction. So just by abstaining yourself from performing your prescribed duties, you will not be freed from reactions and you will not attain any perfection. That's the meaning of this verse. Is it clear? Fine. Let's go to the purport. Prabhupada says, the renounced order of life can be accepted when one has been purified by the discharge of the prescribed form of duties which are laid down just to purify the hearts of materialistic men. Okay. Without purification, one cannot attain success by abruptly adopting the fourth order of life, sannyasa. So, now, the sannyasa word in this verse is renunciation of activities. Prabhupada here it says, it could imply to accepting renounced order also. Okay. So, accepting renounced order involves two things. Number one, giving up activities. Number two, accepting the symbols of sannyasa. Whichever may be the sampradaya. It could be saffron, robes, a danda, ekadanda, tridanda, jobi. There are different things. So, sannyasa could mean just giving up activity. And sannyasa could also mean one step ahead. Giving up activities plus accepting the order of sannyasa by certain, accepting certain symbols of sannyasa. Okay. And there are multiple sampradayas in which the sannyasa could be accepted. Fine. So Prabhupada says, just by entering sannyasa, I am a sannyasi, I have given up everything. That does not make you free from reaction, by the way. You should have the spirit of renunciation. That is more important than the order of renunciation. Right? So, basically we perform prescribed activities for purification of heart. If the heart is not sufficiently purified by prescribed activities, one cannot just abstain oneself from activity and then say, I am a sannyasi, I am freed from all reactions. Because the impure heart will impel you to perform activity once again. But because you have accepted sannyasa order, You cannot perform an activity officially. So one will perform those sinful activities or material activities or sense gratificatory activities in secrecy. That will create more reaction. You understand? So what is important is to cultivate the spirit of renunciation, not to externally accept the symbols of renunciation by giving up action. Fine? It will become more clear in the later verses. Fifth verse. Nahi kaschit kshanam api jato tishtatya karma krit karyate hyavashah karma sarvah prakriti jair gunaihi. Nahi kaschit kshanam api jato tishtati akarma krit. Even one moment also a person, especially a human being here, any living entity of course, but we are speaking more about human beings. All this karma yoga, jnana yoga are meant for human beings. So a person cannot abstain himself from work, even for a moment. Right? Jatu tishthati akarmakrit. Akarmakrit here is, akarma has different meanings earlier, we have discussed. In this context, akarma is not doing an action. Simple. Okay, abstaining yourself from action. So you cannot stay peacefully without doing an action. Okay. Karyate hi avashah karma sarvah prakriti jair gunaihi. Karyate, people perform activities. Avashah karma means helplessly, as if impelled by some force, they perform activities. Okay. Why they perform activities? Answer is given. Sarvah prakriti jair gunaihi. Everybody is impelled by the material modes. Gunaihi, they have acquired certain qualities because of the influence of material modes. Prakriti refers to material modes there. Gunaihi means certain qualities that you have. So everybody is under the influence of material modes. They are impelled to perform some activity or the other. So according to that, you have the scriptures prescribe certain activities for you. So Chaturvaranyam Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. According to gunas, okay, you are given certain activities. You can perform certain activities. So there are varnas divided. Every varna has certain duties. And all these varna duties are based on their gunas, qualities. Right? So, if you give up those prescribed activities for you, then what will happen? Prematurely, if you give them up, then your tendency to perform that activity is still there, but you have prematurely given up that activity. So, you will start doing it in a secret manner. That's the main concern of Krishna. Okay. Because the nature of soul is to be always active. Okay. Prabhupada writes, the body is only a dead vehicle to be worked by the spirit soul. As such, the spirit soul has to be engaged in good work of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it will be engaged in occupations dictated by the illusory energy. Okay. So, better perform some prescribed activities for us than prematurely accepting sannyasa. Okay. Sixth shloka. Karmendriyani samyamya yaaste manasasmaran indriyarthan vimodhatma mithyacharah sa uchyate. Now, inaction is unnatural. That's what Krishna said in the fifth verse. Right? You cannot keep quiet. Better you perform some activity. Helplessly people will perform activity impelled by their own qualities under the influence of modes of nature. Fine. So, but sometimes we see some sannyasis are there. They have given up action. They do not engage any of their senses. And sometimes they even speak philosophy. What about them? So, Krishna says, Karmendriyani samyamya. Karmendriya. Krishna is very specific in using the word. Karmendriya means the working senses. Hands, legs, etc., etc. Samyamya. They control the karmendriyas. Means they will not allow their working senses to act. Means they stopped performing prescribed activities. Fine. Karmendriyani samyamya ya aste manasasmaran. Physically you are not doing an activity, but mentally you are doing it. You are meditating on sense gratification, although you are not, your senses are not engaged in sense gratification physically. Internally there is desire. One may abstain from sex pleasure, but internally sex desires are there. Maybe he is meditating on it. Or it could be anything else. Right? So, indriyarthan vimudhatma mithyacharaha sa uchyate. So, indriyarthan. So, manasa smaran indriyarthan. Internally he is meditating on indriya arthan. Indriya means senses. Indriya artha means the objects of senses. Fine. You can open this door also. We will get more light. So, you stopped your senses from working, but internally you are meditating on the sense objects. Fine. So, such a person is called mithyachari. Mithyachari means a pretender. That kind of sannyasa is not proper. Now again, we need to understand this in proper context. Many sadhakas may have this problem. Right? They have restrained themselves from sense gratification. They have accepted the path of say brahmachari ashram or even a devotional life basically. But some sense gratificated desires are still there. Okay? But if one is secretly working upon them, okay, while externally pretending to be a great renunciant, that is wrong. But if someone is sincerely trying to overcome those conditionings while praying to Krishna, while desiring to overcome them, while endeavoring to overcome them, he is a sincere sadhaka. He is not a pretender. You understand? Right? Till someone becomes very mature and advanced devotee, these agitations are there. Krishna says in the 5th chapter, Shaknati haiva yashodham prakshari ravi mokshana. Till the stage of giving up one's body, these agitations are there. Kama, krodha, udbhavam, vegam. Lust will be there, anger will be there, all these things are there. So, till the time of giving up body, I will have sense gratificatory desires. Does it mean I should not accept renunciation? Or I should not perform devotional activities? That's not the case there. You have a desire to overcome them and you are sincerely endeavoring to overcome them and you are praying for it also in the association of devotees, that is fine. Okay. That is not mithyachari. He is a sadhaka. A genuine bona fide sadhaka. But internally full sense gratification is going on. Externally full renunciation is seen. And you have nothing to do about it. You are not bothered about it. You want to continue like this only. That is pretender. It's a deliberate cheater. Deliberately someone wants to cheat. Okay. A sadhaka sometimes may get little distracted and then, oh, I'm sorry, Krishna, please help me to come out of this distraction. Oh, please. While chanting, how many times we get distracted? One round, mind will go somewhere else. Some sense gratificatory thought also may come. No. Come back. Okay, let's focus on the holy name. If that is the endeavor, he is not a mithyachari. Right? So with that sincerity there, Krishna will show him mercy and then uplift him. But here, it's a deliberate thing. So, instead of becoming such a deliberate pretender and a cheater, better honestly perform your prescribed duties even as a grihastha, as a householder, instead of prematurely becoming a sannyasi. That's the point that Krishna is saying. So in contrast to a renunciant like this, a householder who performs spiritual activities, that is karma yoga, is far better. Without longing for results for one's actions, is far better. So you perform your prescribed duties and cultivate detachment. But without detachment, don't give up your prescribed duties. You understood the essence of this whole chapter, whole section? 7th shloka. Yastvindriyani manasa niyamyarabhate arjuna karmendriyaihi karma yogam asaktaha savisishyate. Yastu indriyani manasa niyamyarabhate arjuna. Here, Krishna is presenting about a sincere person in the 7th verse. In the 6th verse, he spoke about a pretender. who falsely accepts renunciation but internally meditates on sense objects. But now in the 7th shloka he says, on the other hand, there is a sincere person who tries to control active senses by the mind. Okay, indriyani manasa niyamya. With his mind he tries to control his indriyas. Okay, so, and performs karma yoga. Okay, karmendriya karma yogam asaktaha savishishyate. Karmendriya karma yogam. He engages his karmendriyas in karma yoga. Earlier Krishna used the word karmendriya in the 6th verse also. In the 7th verse also he is using karmendriya. Okay, so in the 6th verse, karmendriyani samyamya. In the 7th verse, karmendriyehi karma yogam. Fine. In the 6th verse, only an external restriction of karmendriyas is there. Internal meditation on sense objects is continuing. But in the 7th verse, karmendriyas are engaged in karma yoga. Okay. And there is no renounced order of life there. There is detachment. See the word asaktaha. Asakta means detachment. You are cultivating detachment while engaging in your prescribed duties. So visishyate, such a person is better. You understand the verse? So as much as possible, try to get familiar with the Sanskrit. Then things will become very clear. At least for some selected verses. So instead of becoming a pseudo-transcendentalist, for the sake of wanton living and sense enjoyment, it is far better to remain in one's own business and execute the purpose of life, which is to get free from material bondage and enter into the kingdom of God. So, sva artha gati is, Prabhupada gives highest devotional understanding of these verses. He says, we need to aspire to go back to Godhead, to serve Vishnu, whole life. So, for that one needs to be detached. Okay, fine. 8th shloka. Krishna is kind of concluding now. Yes, Prabhu.
Out of these two verses, 6 and 7, I think one should always be adopting the 7th verse philosophy, although he might be on the highest order.
That's what Krishna says in the next verse. So, actually, 6th verse is not discouraging renunciation. 6th verse is discouraging premature renunciation and cheating renunciation. Okay. Krishna never discourages renounced order of life. Sannyasa also is only introduced. He says that if you are not qualified for renounced order of life, don't get into it. So what is that qualification? A desire to cultivate detachment. Okay. Like that. But sannyasa plus secret sense gratification. That's what he's discouraging. Fine? So, if you consider what he said in the 6th verse, 7th verse is definitely superior verse. Of course, no doubt about it. But 6th verse is not indicating that renunciation is not bona fide. Renunciation is also bona fide. But you should be prepared for it. You should not be prepared to cheat people in the name of renunciation. You should be prepared to cultivate the spirit of renunciation while entering the renounced order of life. Okay, that Krishna will make it clear in several verses ahead. 8th shloka. Niyatam kuru karmatvam.
Niyatam kuru karmatvam.
Karma jyayohya karmanaha.
Karma jyayohya karmanaha.
Sharira yatra pichate.
Sharira yatra pichate.
Naprasiddhyet akarmanaha.
Naprasiddhyet akarmanaha.
Niyatam kuru karmatvam. Karma jyayohi akarmanaha. So he says, kuru means do. What? Karma. Your prescribed duty. How? Niyatam. Okay. So niyatam means prescribed duty. Regulated duty. So you perform your prescribed duty. Niyatam kuru karmatvam means you. Karma jyayohi akarmanaha. Okay. So because it is better than akarma means not doing any activity. Fine. In this context akarma is different. In another context, akarma will be different. In one context, karma is doing your prescribed duty with attachment. And akarma is doing your prescribed duty with detachment. That's another context. In this context, in this sloka, karma here is prescribed duty with detachment, and akarma is avoiding your prescribed duty. You understand? With irresponsibility, akarma. So the karma and akarma are not having universally and eternally freezed meanings in the dictionary. They keep on changing according to the context. Sometimes karma is better than akarma, sometimes akarma is more better than karma. We need that is there, depending on the context. We need to see the star there. You may not see the star, but you have to notice it. Conditions apply. Karma is better than akarma. Star, conditions apply. Read the purport. Okay. Here Krishna clearly says, Niyatam kuru karmatvam. Then karma jayohi akarmanaha. Okay, that karma is better than akarma. Very clear. Karma is work. Jayohi is certainly better than. Jaya means better. He means certainly. Akarma, not doing work. So performing your prescribed duty is better than not performing your prescribed duty. That's what it means. Karma jayohi akarmanaha. But if you take the meaning of akarma as devotional service, and then karma as fruitive activity, then definition will change. Then akarma jayohi karmanaha ho jayega. You understand? Next. Sharira yatrapi chate na prasiddhyet akarmanaha. Okay. So, he says, one cannot even maintain one's body also without performing work. At least to maintain your body, you have to do some work. So Krishna is bringing the discussion at a very ground level. At least to maintain your body, you have to do some work. You should do it. Why are you speaking about renunciation? So it is not the ultimate message of Bhagavad Gita, by the way. Ultimate conclusive message of Bhagavad Gita is manmana, bhava, madbhakta and all that. Okay. So we need to understand the context in which Krishna is making these statements. So here is a context where Krishna is prescribing prescribed activities to renunciation. If you are not qualified for renunciation, don't prematurely do it. Better do your prescribed duties. Okay. Now, you have registered for Bhakti Shastri course. Some of you are hearing Bhagavad Gita class here, and don't have Bhakti Shastri degree. Some people have Bhakti Shastri degree. Fine. So, people who do not have the degree, they have to write exams. That is your prescribed duty. Other people need not. Okay. Other people need not, who already have a degree, they need not write exams, assessment, open book exam, closed book. They have already done it. They have surpassed that stage. They have received the degree in hand. Okay. So, they need not do. But for you, you have to do it. You cannot skip classes. You cannot skip exams. That's what Krishna says. Okay. You don't have a degree yet. They have a degree. So they are jnanis, they are jnana yogis, and you are still karma yogis, okay? Just giving an example. All of you are bhakti yogis, there is no doubt about it. Okay? Now, Krishna gives the ultimate conclusive understanding from the bhakti perspective, especially in the 9th sloka. And Prabhupada also mentions another interesting point. He says, anyone who is in the material world is certainly possessed of the impure propensity for lording it over material nature, or in other words, for sense gratification. Such polluted propensities have to be cleared. Without doing so, through prescribed duties, one should never attempt to become a so-called transcendentalist, renouncing work and living at the cost of others. So a renunciant actually lives by the donations given by others. He does not have a constant or consistent source of livelihood. He cannot earn on his own. He lives by the earning of others. So, a renunciant should be very cautious not to unnecessarily live at the cost of others without he performing certain proper activity for others' welfare. Okay. So So premature renunciation, just by getting attracted to the proposal of, okay, you don't have to earn, someone will earn and give you. So that is not proper. Fine. So ninth verse, how to perform work in such a way that you need not be bound by such work. Because Arjuna also raised some concern, saying that if I perform this work, I will be bound by the reactions. But Krishna says, you need not be bound by reaction to an action, although you are acting. You do action, but you will not get reaction, I promise you. How is that? You should work in the way that I am describing in the ninth shloka. Krishna says, yajnarthat karmanon yatra
loko yam karma bandhanah tadartham karma
kaunteya mukta sangah samachara. Yajnarthat karmano, you have to perform your activities for the sake of yajna. Means yajna, one meaning is sacrifice. Yajna can also mean the Lord of sacrifice, that is Vishnu. Yajnarthat karmanon yatra means you should perform activities for the sake of Lord Vishnu. Anyatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha. Anyatra means if you perform activity for any other purpose other than pleasing Vishnu, that will cause karma bandhana. One will be bound by reactions to those actions. Clear? If you perform activities for Vishnu, there will be no bondage. If you do not perform activities for Vishnu, there will be bondage. Right? So, tadartham karma kaunteya mukta sangaha samachara. So, do your prescribed duties. Tadartham. Again he says, in the first line he said, yajnarthat karmano. In the third line he again says, tadartham karma kaunteya. You have to perform activities for him only. Then, mukta sangaha samachara. Thus, you will be freed from any bondage. Mukta sangaha means there will be no bondage. It could also mean mukta sangaha. Sangha means attachment to the reaction. Attachment to the result. So mukta sangaha means without any attachment to the results, you should perform activities. Then you will not be bound by those activities. Fine. So different acharyas give different meanings here, but in spirit both are same. Because karma bandhana is bondage in the second line. Mukta sangaha is, can also mean you will be freed from bondage, but it could also mean you should perform with detachment from results. Chakravarti gives this meaning. Is it clear? We discussed up to the ninth shloka. So one has to offer prescribed duties to Lord Vishnu or Krishna without personal desire. So that is called yajna or sacrifice. That's the great art of doing sacrifice. So yajno vai Vishnuhu. Vishnu is also called yajna sometimes. So in some context yajna is Vishnu, in some context yajna is sacrifice. Fine. So thus Krishna suggested to perform activities for the sake of Vishnu in conclusion in this section. So we'll summarize all the 9 verses once again. In the first 2 shlokas, Arjuna asked a question. What was the question? My dear Krishna, earlier you told me to keep all abominable actions far away from Buddhi Yoga. 2.49. Durena hi avaram karma Buddhi Yoga dhananjaya. You told me to keep all abominable actions, karmas, far from Buddhi. Then why do you ask me to perform this war, which is a ghastly karma? Ghoram karma. So should I do action or should I get into renunciation? What is your opinion? Tell me something very conclusively. That's Arjuna's question. Fine. Now Krishna answers from the third verse. He says that there are 2 kinds of people. Number 1, the practitioners of Jnana Yoga or Sankhya Yoga. Number 2, the practitioners of Karma Yoga or Buddhi Yoga. Okay. So practitioners of Jnana Yoga or Sankhya Yoga, they already have detachment and they have developed analytical knowledge of matter and spirit they need not perform prescribed activities. They are qualified for sannyasa. However, other category of people, they are not mature enough, they still have material desires, they still do not have full knowledge. So such people cannot just prematurely give up prescribed duties. They have to perform prescribed duties. They did not have Bhakti Shastri degree. Okay, Jnana Yogis and Sankhya Yogis, they have Bhakti Shastri degree. And here, this Karma Yogis do not have Bhakti Shastri degree in this context. All these are contextual examples, by the way. So he said two types of practitioners are there. Now the first type of practitioner is qualified for renunciation, but the second type of practitioner is not qualified for renunciation. Now understand your situation. Okay. So prematurely if one gets into renunciation, that is not proper. Why? Because you cannot renounce action. Means inaction is so unnatural for you. Fine. But what is the problem? Why it is unnatural? Because of the influence of material modes, you are impelled to do some action according to your nature. So if you prematurely renounce, because of your inclination, internally you will meditate on sense objects. And such a person is called a pretender. So instead of renouncing, better you perform your prescribed duties and try to do them in a detached spirit. That's better option for you. Okay. So perform your prescribed duties. Niyatam kuru karmatvam. Than giving up karma. Okay, karma sannyasa. And what is the best way of doing your prescribed duties? Ultimately, you have to do all the prescribed duties for the sake of Lord Vishnu. Then you will not have any bondage. So Arjuna's argument is, if I perform activity, I will get some reaction. If I don't perform activity, I will not get any reaction. Krishna concluded by saying, you perform your activity for the sake of Vishnu with detachment from results, then you will not have any bondage. Is it clear? That's the essence. So thank you. We'll discuss the next section in the next session. Hare Krishna.
Beginning of jnana.
Next time you can pick the other letter.
Hare Krishna.
So we will start from the 10th sloka. Sahayagnaha praja srishtva
Puro vacha prajapatihi anena prasavishvadham yesho vastvishtakamadhuk.
In the previous section, Krishna spoke about the great art of doing work, which is to perform your prescribed duties in a mode of detachment and as an offering to Krishna. Okay, that way you can avoid any kind of reactions or material bondage incurred by the performance of prescribed duties. Fine. So now in this section, from verse number 10 to 16, Krishna says that he has designed this world, this material world, to encourage yajna. In the 9th verse, he spoke about yajna. Yajnarthat karmano anyatra lokoyam karma vandhanah. You have to perform your prescribed duties for the sake of yajna. And now he says he has actually designed this world to perform such kind of yajna. Fine. And he does this by making material advancement dependent on yajna. Because your progress and prosperity in this world is dependent on how you perform your sacrifices. Fine? That's what Krishna is trying to emphasize here.
So by worshipping the Lord for material well-being, also one can become purified. Fine. So let's see what is this process of sacrifice. 10th verse. Sahayagnyah praja srishtva. Praja means the citizens or people in general. So the Lord has created these living beings along with the process of yajna. Sahayagnyah praja srishtva. Purovacha prajapatihi. Okay. So prajapati can mean the Lord of all creatures. Fine. It could refer to the Supreme Lord Vishnu, or it could even refer to the prajapatis who perform the creation, who are empowered by Lord Vishnu to create. There's nothing wrong in both explanations. Fine. So sahayagnaha prajasrishtra. But simple meaning is prajapati means the Lord of all creatures. And that is Supreme Lord Krishna, ultimately. Or his representatives as Prajapatis or as Brahma or anyone like that. So, the Lord has created the living beings and also the Lord has created the process of sacrifices. Okay. And said, may you all prosper, may you all get all desirable things by this yajna to live happily and achieve liberation. Okay. Anena. Next, Prabhupada writes that the material creation by the Lord of all creatures, that is Vishnu, is a chance to the conditioned soul to go back home, back to Godhead. So material world is there, and this material world is filled with people who perform material activities. But by following the Vedic codes, they will make a transition from material activities to spiritual activities. Initially, the Vedic prescriptions bring a person from doing hardcore material activities to somewhat spiritual activities, that is called karma kanda, means in the direction of spirituality. Oh, you are eating meat constantly, at least restrict it, taking some Vedic directions, restrict them, restrict that meat eating only to a few days, right, on Purnami Day, Amavasya Day, whatever prescribed course. So like that, initially the Vedic literatures prescribe certain activities for people who are in little lower stages of consciousness, and they are little karmakandic, and they are also fruitive. Okay, you perform this and you will get this in return. But at least by doing that, there is some kind of alignment to a higher authority. Alignment to the words of God, which are Vedas. But one has to transcend that stage. Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna. One has to transcend those Vedic prescriptions of sacrifices or rituals also and come to a stage of performing pure devotional service. Fine. But in this section, Krishna is just describing the beginning stages. Okay, I have created people. Means Vishnu has created so many people and also gave them the process of sacrifice. So you can prosper and progress materially while also making some substantial spiritual progress also by the process of this yajna. Fine? He has created people and he has created yajna. Fine? Next. So Krishna is the pati of everything. Shriyaha pati, yajna pati, prajapatir, dhyam patir, lokapatir, dharapatir, patir, gatischa andhaka vrishni sattvatam, prasidatam me, bhagavan, satam pati. This is a verse from prayers of Sukadeva Goswami in Bhagavatam, second canto, fourth chapter. You recently studied it. So the Lord is the pati or master of everything. And Prabhupada writes, it is Sankirtan Yajna which is the ultimate Yajna that we have to do. Although Krishna is speaking about some Yajnas here, some regular Karmakandic Yajnas in this section, but ultimately what all devotees are supposed to do is Krishna conscious Sankirtan Yajna. And Lord Chaitanya has descended to perform that Yajna, introduce that Yajna to people in general. That is Krishna Varanam Tusha Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parshadam, you know these verses. 11th shloka. Devan bhavayata nena.
Devan bhavayata nena.
Te deva bhavayantuvah.
Te deva bhavayantuvah.
Parasparam bhava yantaha Shreyaha parama vapsyatha. Now, in the 10th verse, Krishna said that I have created people and the process of yajna so that they can perform this yajna and become prosperous and get whatever they want for their maintenance. Fine. Now in the 11th verse he says, Devan bhavayatanena te deva bhavayantvaha. So the Lord has also created the demigods. Okay. Now people are created, then yajnas are created, and demigods are also created. These people perform the yajnas and please the demigods, and the demigods will give them all prosperity in reciprocation to their yajnas. Okay? Ultimately, all yajnas are meant for pleasing Vishnu. But Krishna is here describing some basic things. Okay, for basic people. So you begin with Karma Kanda. So Krishna will smoothly make a transition from Karma Kanda to Karma Yoga. Earlier he spoke about Karma Yoga already. That is, Ignartat Karmano Nyatra Lokoyam, that one. Now he is speaking about Karma Kanda. Okay, so from this Karma Kanda stuff, you should come to Karma Yoga. So I have created demigods also, and these demigods, they should be pleased. They will be pleased by the performance of all these sacrifices. Fine? So, and they will supply all necessities to the human beings. Okay? So, parasparam bhavayantaha shreha paramavapsyatha. Parasparam means mutually they will reciprocate with the sacrifices done by the people and they will bestow all prosperity. Now, who are these demigods? Demigods are also living entities. These demigods, actually Prabhupada writes, there are two types of living entities. One, those who have very pure consciousness of rendering pure devotional service unto Krishna, pure devotees, just want to render service to Krishna. And there are other people, they want to lord over the material nature. Fine, two categories. One want to lord over material nature for their own sense gratification. Second category, they want to serve the Lord. And there is a third category which is in the middle of two. They also want to lord over the material nature and they also want to render service to the Lord. Such people are made into demigods. So, they will become demigods. They will get an opportunity to lord over the material nature by controlling earth, water, fire, air, ether and all that and giving rains to people and all that. And that controllership is a part of their service to the Supreme Lord. So demigods are more advanced living beings in this universe who have much more developed consciousness than regular human beings in general. They render service to the Lord, but they also have some tendency to control material nature, and that controllership mentality Krishna utilizes in running the material universe. He'll make them managers of material universe. Is it clear? Fine. So, but if their tendency to control decreases and if their mood of rendering service to Krishna increases, they'll become pure devotees. But if their controllership increases and their service attitude towards Krishna decreases, Krishna will teach them a lesson. Like he did in Govardhan Leela, Indra. Then he also did in Brahma Vimohan Leela and all that. Fine. Of course, Brahma Vimohan Leela is a divine thing. So, Brahma is influenced by Yoga Maya potency to steal the cows and boys. Anyways, coming back to this, the Lord has created the process of yajna, the Lord has created people in general, and the Lord has created demigods, and these people in general perform these yajnas and please the demigods and get all the desirable products from the demigods. Right? Now, 12th shloka. Ishtan bhogan hi devo deva.
Ishtan bhogan hi devo deva.
Dasyante yajna bhavita.
Dasyante yajna bhavita.
Tair dattan apradayibhyo.
Tair dattan apradayibhyo.
Yo bhumte stena evasaha.
Yo bhumte stena evasaha.
Ishtan bhogan hivo deva dasyante yajna bhavitaha. Now, there are some people, so far we discussed three things. Yajna, people in general, demigods. People in general should perform yajna to please demigods and get whatever they want. But there are some people who do not want to please demigods by process of sacrifice. They just enjoy the natural products, whatever is available, for their own sense of gratification without making an offering to the demigods through the process of yajna. Clear? So Krishna is speaking about them. One who enjoys the gifts of demigods, now it's raining so much outside, and that is the mercy of Indradev. Okay? And because of this rain, we will get crops and then lot of prosperity, greenery, etc. Somebody will just enjoy all this, but without making an offering to the demigods. So such a person is called thief. Okay? So without offering them to the demigods, if he just enjoys the products given by the demigods, such a person is called a thief. Stena means thief. Yo bhunte stena eva saha. Now, what about devotees? From Karmakanda perspective, people have to perform yajnas to satisfy demigods, and demigods will them give them prosperity. Devotees, they satisfy the Supreme Lord directly. Krishna, they water the root, they feed the belly. So they satisfy the Supreme Lord Krishna directly and then get all prosperity from Krishna. Because all these demigods are limbs of Krishna's body, Lord Vishnu's body. So if one pleases the Supreme Lord by performing devotional service, then all the demigods are automatically satisfied and such devotees will automatically be prosperous. But in the karmakandic section, for people who are in lower stages of consciousness, at least they should worship the demigods and get whatever products they have. If you don't worship demigods and you don't worship anyways Krishna and Vishnu, then you are a thief. So Prabhupada discusses a lot about accepting only prasadam. Offer to the Supreme Lord and then accept prasadam, then you will be healthy also and you will make spiritual progress also. 13. Yajna-shishtasinas santo muchyante sarva kilvishaihi bhunjate te tvagham papa yepa chantyatma karanat. Yajna-shishtasinas santo. Santa means devotees. What do they do? Yajna-shishta, the remnants of sacrifice they accept. They perform sacrifice, means they make so many offerings to the demigods. If they are devotees, they offer directly to the Supreme Lord, Krishna. And then the remnants they accept. Fine? Such people, muchyante sarva kilbhishehi, they are freed from all kinds of sins and sinful reactions. So, bhunjate te tu agham papa ye pachanti atma karanat. Atma karanat means, for satisfying your own self, if you eat some things, you are only eating sin. Bhunjate te agham papa. Such sinful people who do not make any offerings to the Lord or the demigods and then eats directly, such people are eating sin only. They will be entitled for all kinds of sinful reactions also. Okay. So that's what is mentioned in the 13th sloka. Now Prabhupada writes, the devotees of the Supreme Lord are called santas, and they are always in love with the Lord, and it is described in Brahma Samhita, premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santas sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. So the yajna that is meant for us is bhakti yoga or sankirtan yajna, which involves ravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, padasevanam, etc., etc., as Prabhupada writes in the purport. So we can see the perspective from devotee's side, and you can see the flow that Krishna is taking us through. Karmakanda, demigod worship and all these are being mentioned here. The bhakti word doesn't come, but Prabhupada instills lot of bhakti explanations for all these verses. 14th sloka. Annad bhavanti bhutani parjanyadanna sambhavaha yajnat bhavati parjanyo yajnah karma samudbhavah annat bhavanti bhutani. Means all the living entities subsist on food grains. Parjanyat anna sambhavah. Parjanya means now clouds. Okay, so the anna or food grains will grow because of this rain. Okay, and the rains will come from clouds. So people will survive based on food grains, and the grains will come through rains. Parjanya anna sambhavah. And yajna bhavati parjanyo, how will that rain clouds come? That is by yajna. Yajna bhavati parjanyo. And where will that yajna, where is that yajna described here? Yajna karma samudbhavah. Yajna is born of your prescribed duties. To perform yajna is your prescribed duty. So you have to perform your prescribed duty. Your prescribed duty is yajna. And by yajna, you get parjanya, means clouds or rains. And by rains, you get anna or grains. And by that anna, people will survive. You can see Gita Subodhini, I have given this whole thing in a circle, cycle. And where is this karma or prescribed duties coming from? Karma brahmodbhavam viddhi. You should understand that this karma or prescribed activities are generated from Brahma. Brahma here is not Lord Brahma. Brahma here is referring to Vedic literatures. So your prescribed duties are mentioned in the Vedic scriptures. Fine. And Brahmakshara samudbhavam. Where are these Vedas coming from? They are coming from Akshara, infallible Supreme Lord directly. Okay. Tasmat sarvagatam Brahma. And this Brahma is Supreme Lord. Therefore, you should render service unto the all-pervading Supreme Lord. Sarvagatam Brahma Nityam Yajne Pratishthitam. Is it clear? So Tasmat means therefore, Sarvagatam means all-pervading. Brahma here refers to the Supreme Lord. The Brahma in the first line refers to Vedic literatures. The Brahma in the third line refers to the Supreme Lord, Vishnu. Who is Niyatam Nityam Yajne Pratishthitam. He is always established in Yajna, in the acts of sacrifice. Is it clear? So from the Supreme Lord, Vedas will manifest. From the Vedas, we will know what are our prescribed duties. So following those prescribed duties, we perform yajnas. And by performance of yajnas, we get rains. And through rains, we get grains. And from grains, we all subsist on them. Our survival is dependent on grains. But there is one more important link there. The living entities, after getting grains in their hands, they should not just eat. They should offer them to the Supreme Lord and then eat. So that link, although it's not mentioned in these two verses, you can see the previous verses. Then the cycle is complete. This is the cycle of sacrifice. The Supreme Lord, Vedas, prescribed actions, sacrifices, raining clouds and food grains, and living entities who are surviving on the food grains. Okay. So we discussed 14th shloka and also 15th shloka. So Vedas are the emanations from the breath of the Supreme Lord. 16th verse. Evam pravartitam chakram Chakram. So this chakra, chakra is cycle. What cycle? Cycle of sacrifice that we just discussed. So evam pravartitam chakram na anuvartya yati hayaha. Okay. Nanuvartayati means if one does not follow this cycle of sacrifice in this life, so what is his situation? Krishna says, Aghayur Indriya Aramo. Indriya Arama means he just works for sense gratification. And Agha Ayur, and his whole lifespan is filled with sin. he just uselessly spends his lifespan in performing sinful activities and sense gratification. Okay, moham partha sajivati. Okay, he is uselessly doing it. Moham means useless. He is uselessly wasting his time. Okay, so Krishna so far explained in this particular section that he has created the process of yajna and he gave it to the living entities so that they can perform that yajna and get all prosperity from the demigods. So once you get that prosperity, you should offer that prosperity back in the form of offerings and yajna to the demigods only, and then accept the remnants and then survive. And this is the whole cycle of sacrifice. And if you do not offer anything to the Lord or the demigods and then eat directly, then you are eating only sin. Better follow the cycle of sacrifice. So this is like a karmakandic cycle. But when you bring in Krishna in picture, there not just offering to the demigods, offering to the Supreme Lord directly, it becomes bhakti. Okay? So this is the cycle of sacrifice. So in the 16th purport, Prabhupada says, there is no necessity of following the performances of prescribed yajnas for the transcendentalists who are above vice and virtue. But those who are engaged in sense gratification require purification by the cycle of sacrifice. The cycle of sacrifice is mainly meant for karmakandic kind of people who are in very low stages of consciousness. But if someone has developed consciousness that he directly worships Krishna through Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, so this all this demigod worship and performing so many yajnas are not necessary. You directly perform Sankirtan yajna of chanting the holy names of the Lord. Fine? So we completed 16 slokas, and from 17th till 35th sloka, it's a longer section. Okay, we will take it in the next slot. Okay, thank you.
We'll just take the break, sir. It's around 11 o'clock only. I think we can try to complete this also. We have time till 12, right? Mm-hmm. 1 hour may...
17 minutes. Maybe.
15 verses are there, little more than 15 verses. I think we can complete in an hour easily. We'll take it. In 5 minutes we'll start it.
In the 17th shloka. So far in this chapter, we have seen Arjuna asked this question: should I do action or shall I get into renunciation? Which is better for me? So Krishna in the first section, from 3rd verse till 9th verse, he described Nishkama Karma Yoga. You perform action. You perform your prescribed action with the mode of detachment as an offering to the Supreme Lord, then you will not incur any bondage. Okay? And in the next section, Krishna gives certain detail that actually I have created all the living entities and gave them the path of sacrifice so that they can prosperously live. Okay? And they should also make an offering to the demigods or me and me. Okay, so that they can do not incur any bondage. That's the gist of these two sections. Basically, two can be like together also. So the second section, which is from 10th verse till 16th verse, is a subplot, subsection of the main section only. Basically, he emphasized Nishkama Karma Yoga only till now. Now, we also made a point earlier, if you remember, that Karma Yoga is to be performed by people who are not yet qualified for full renunciation of prescribed duties. Right? So, you have prescribed duties and you perform those prescribed duties and cultivate detachment and cultivate knowledge, and by performing those prescribed duties in that mode, you will gain purification. So once you attain purification, maturity, knowledge and detachment, then you can surpass the stage of performing your prescribed duty, then you are qualified for Jnana Yoga. Okay? Or Sannyasa. But what if a person is already qualified like that? We gave this example. People do not have degrees here. They have to write all assessments. Write open book exam, closed book exam, etc. People who already have degrees, they need not write these exams. But Krishna is presenting a case in this 17th verse till 35th verse, another section. He's presenting a case where a person who already has a degree also writes exams. You understand? You are qualified for bhakti, you are qualified for Jnana Yoga. Means you already have knowledge, you have detachment, you are purified by performance of prescribed duties already, you have detachment also. But still, to set the right example for others to follow, you perform your prescribed activities. Is it clear? Actually, third chapter is very simple. Okay? So, the first thing is, Arjuna asked this question, action or renunciation? Definitely, renunciation, if it is mature, then it is better than doing your prescribed action. But instead of prematurely renouncing, better you perform action only. Okay? Because you are not qualified for renunciation, better you perform action. That's what he said till now. Now what he's going to say, even if you are qualified for renunciation also, still you perform action. Even if you are qualified for Jnana Yoga, you still perform Karma Yoga, just to set right example for others. And I have done it, Krishna says. And Janaka Maharaj has done it. There are so many great souls who have performed their prescribed duties just to set the right example for common people to follow. Although these people themselves are not entitled to do any prescribed duties. They are beyond that stage. They have detachment already. They are mature. They are knowledgeable. They are purified. Okay. So, understood what we are getting into now? So, we are getting into a section where Krishna is recommending Nishkama Karma Yoga for a person who is qualified for Jnana Yoga. Okay? Just to set the right example for others to follow. Fine. So 17th shloka. Yastvatmaratirevasyad
Atmatruptascha manavaha
Atmanyevacasantushtaha Tasyakaryam navidyate Yastu atmaratirevasyad. Now Krishna is describing the qualities of a self-realized person who has surpassed the stage of performing this Nishkama Karma Yoga. Okay, he is a self-realized person. 17th and 18th verses describe the qualities of self-realized person. He says, Yastu Atma Ratir. Atma Rati means he takes pleasure in himself only. Next, Atma Truptascha Manavaha. Atma Trupta means he is satisfied in the self. He does not need anything beyond himself for his satisfaction. Atman Yevacha Santushtaha. Santushta means fully satiated within himself only. He doesn't need anything else. Means he has no material desires. Someone who has still material desires and attachments and expectations of results of activities, such people should do karma yoga. But this person is beyond that. He is atma trupta, atma santushta, atma rati. For such a person, tasya karyam na vidyate. Such a person need not perform action. Again, refer back to Arjuna's question. What did he say? Jayasi chet karmanaste mata buddhir janardana. My dear Janardana, you told that this buddhi is better than karma. Why are you entangling me in karma again? Then Arjuna, then Krishna said, no, karma is meant for a person who is not yet purified. And all these things are not applicable exactly to Arjuna. He's after all, he's a pure devotee. He's purified soul. He did not purify himself by performing his prescribed duty, but is meant for common people. So, who can just give up action completely? Tasya karyam na vidyate. If a person is atmarati, atmatrupta, atmasantushta. Fine? Only such person can renounce activity. Is it clear? Now Krishna further says, Naivatasya krite naho Naivatasya krite naartho
Naivatasya krite
Nakrite neha kashchana
Nakrite neha kashchana
Nachasya sarva bhuteshu
Nachasya sarva bhuteshu
Kaschit arthavya pashrayaha
Kaschit arthavya pashrayaha.
Krishna further says, in the 17th verse he says, this person is, the self-realized person is not obliged to perform any prescribed duties. Now he says, naiva tasya kritena artho. Okay. He has no purpose in performing those activities. No purpose. And if you do something, you should have a purpose behind it. But this person has no such purpose. Means no material desire or expectation or a plan or something in return. Okay, he's not looking for anything. He's already satisfied. Okay. Next, na kriteneha kaschana. Another important point. We'll discuss this little later. Na chasya sarva bhuteshu kaschit artha vyapashrayaha. So this person has no taste for material pleasures, no purpose or gain in performing such actions, and na akritena iha kaschana. Akrita means there is no reason for him not to perform an activity also. There is no reason for him to do an activity, and there is no reason not to do an activity also. He is neutral to all activity. Okay, he is not obliged, he is not attached, he is not forced, and he is not impelled by anything, and he need not restrain himself from doing an activity also. He is totally indifferent to it.
He is not giving up also.
Krishna doesn't say that. Krishna only says that he need not perform activity. Krishna analyzes his disposition and says that such a person need not perform an activity, because he has no reason to do an activity, and he also has no reason not to do an activity. He is totally indifferent to that activity. Okay? Whether he does it or doesn't do it, he has nothing to gain
He has no purpose in doing it. Or he has no purpose in not doing it also. He will just do it. Okay? But why he has to do it like that? To set an example for others. Okay? See, no need to depend on any other living beings. Okay, arthavyapashrayaha. He does not take shelter of anyone else for his maintenance. Oh, he is not doing any activity. Maybe he is depending on someone else who is doing some activity and then maintaining himself. No, not even that. Such a exalted person. No dependence. No dependence on any other living being. No dependence on demigods also. You understand this? Earlier section, Krishna emphasized a lot on demigod doing sacrifice and pleasing the demigods. Right? Now, he is not dependent on demigods also. This self-realized person. Right? So, he is totally detached from the body and bodily conception. Such a person need not perform an activity. You understand? Who cannot perform an activity? No one can prematurely say, I am beyond this. The standard of such a person who is not obliged to perform an activity is so high. In these two verses you can see. Are you Atma Tripta? Are you Atma Rati? Are you Atma Santushta? Then only you can abstain from your prescribed activity. Otherwise you have to do. Okay, 19th sloka. Tasmad saktah satatam karyam karma samacharam asakto hyacharan karma paramapnoti purushaham. Tasmad asaktah satatam, therefore satatam means always perform your activity. Okay, how? Asaktah, without getting attached. Tasmat asaktaha satatam. Always do your activity without any attachment. How? Karyam karma samachara. You have to do it just as a matter of duty. Oh, isa karna hai ka? Kar leta. Why are you doing this? What are you gaining from it? I don't want to gain anything. Okay. Then why don't you stop doing it? It's okay. As a matter of duty, I have to do it, I will just do it. Why should I stop? He'll ask. Why are you doing it? No reason. Why are you stopping it? No reason. Right? So, Krishna is recommending here, you perform your prescribed works in a dutiful manner, just because they are prescribed, just they are on the rule book for you. You do it, but you maintain a mode of asakta, no attachment. Asaktohi acharan karma, by working in such a dutiful manner with detachment, paramapunoti purushaha, one can attain param, means liberation. Attain the abode of the Supreme Lord. Okay. So, this can easily be interpreted with bhakti. So, if you perform your prescribed activities without any material expectations in return, one can attain liberation. One can attain Krishna Loka also. Fine. So, now, Prabhupada writes in the purport, Param apnoti purushaha. Param could mean liberation, and that Param could be Param Purusha Krishna also. In devotee's context, that is Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna only. Prabhupada writes, the Supreme is the personality of Godhead for the devotees, and for impersonalists, that Param is liberation. Okay? It's up to you. How do you want to interpret that word Param? If you are a devotee, it is Krishna. If one is an impersonalist, it is liberation. It could be impersonal liberation also. That is the perfect action of the highest degree recommended by the Supreme Lord. What is that? Just to perform activities for Krishna with detachment. To be a good man or a non-violent man is a personal attachment. But to act on behalf of the Supreme Lord is to act without attachment to result. So such kind of activity will take us to Krishna's lotus feet. Okay. So Vedic rituals like prescribed sacrifices are performed for purification of impious activities that were performed in the field of sense gratification. But action in Krishna consciousness is transcendental to such reactions of good or evil work. So if one is already a devotee, then he is not obliged to all this stuff. Okay. So he is detached. Now Arjuna is wondering,
ऐसा भी होता है क्या? यू आर परफॉर्मिंग एन एक्टिविटी विथ एब्सोल्यूटली नो अटैचमेंट टुवर्ड्स रिजल्ट्स, हु विल डू लाइक दिस? इज देर एनी पर्सन हु कैन डू लाइक दिस? इज वंडरिंग. देन कृष्णा नोटिसिंग द माइंड ऑफ अर्जुन, ही स्टार्ट्स गिविंग एन एग्जाम्पल. ओके, सो 20th वर्स. कर्मणैव हि संसिद्धिम् आस्थिता जनकादयः लोकसंग्रहमेवापि संपश्यन् कर्तुमर्हसि. कर्मणैव हि संसिद्धिम् आस्थिता जनकादयः. देर आर सो मेनी पीपल हु अटेंड परफेक्शन. संसिद्धि मीन्स परफेक्शन बै परफॉर्मिंग देयर प्रिस्क्राइब्ड ड्यूटीज. ओके, सी दिस कर्मणैव हि संसिद्धं. जस्ट बै परफॉर्मिंग प्रिस्क्राइब्ड ड्यूटीज सम पीपल अटेंड परफेक्शन. हु आर दे? जनकादयः. ग्रेट राजर्षिस लाइक जनक महाराज. लोकसंग्रहमेवापि संपश्यन् कर्तुमर्हसि. सो लोकसंग्रहम, वाई डिड दे डू लाइक दैट? बिकॉज they want to set example for common people also. Lokasangraham evapi, for the sake of common people, they themselves performed prescribed duties and they attained perfection. Okay, they set an example also for others to follow, teaching people. So better you also perform your prescribed duty, follow the footsteps of Janaka. Arjuna, if you are not qualified for jnana yoga renunciation, you should definitely perform your prescribed duty. But even if you claim that you are qualified for renunciation and you have so much of detachment and fully purified, still you should perform prescribed duty. Is Janaka Maharaj not purified? He's a pure soul. But still he performed prescribed duty for common people to follow. You are a Kshatriya, your prescribed duty is fighting. If you fight, other Kshatriyas also follow, will follow your example and then religiously fight. And if they die in that religious battle, they may attain the higher planets also. But if you give up your prescribed duty of fighting, right, although you are qualified for it, people may think that you are running away out of fear, etc., etc. Okay, set a right example. Now Prabhupada writes in the purport that Lord Ramachandra is there. Janaka Maharaj was the father of Sita and the father-in-law of Lord Ram. Being a great devotee of Lord, he was transcendentally situated. But because he was the king of Mithila, he had to teach his subjects how to perform prescribed duties. So, Prabhupada writes, Krishna and Arjuna, the Lord's eternal friend, had no need to fight in the battle, but they fought to teach people in general that violence is also necessary in a situation where good arguments fail. You are not achieving a good result by presenting logic and reasoning and good arguments. All that Krishna did in front of Duryodhan. But Duryodhan said, I will not give you anything. Right? Then, fine. Let's meet in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He said like that. So that's necessary. Next. So you do not have a purpose behind performing your prescribed duties, but you just want to teach people in general. That's a total selfless work. It's like teacher already know A, B, C, D. Okay? The teacher knows A, B, C, D. But small children are sitting there in the nursery classroom. And the teacher will say, you should write A like this on the board. And then child is not is unable to follow. Then the teacher will go to the child and catch the small hand of the child and make the child write A like this. A. She will also utter and she will also write. So, she need not, but just to teach these people, she is doing it like that. 21st sloka. Yadyadacharati
Shrestha
Tattadevetaro Janah Sayat Pramanam Kurute Lokastadanuvartate Yadyadacharati Shrestha. Shrestha means the best person, or a popular person, or a charismatic person, or a great person in the society. There may be a big community, but there is only one president in that community. Why? He is considered to be the best from different perspectives. So, when such a Shrestha person performs an activity, common people tend to follow.
tattadeve etaro janaha. Sayat pramanam kurute, whatever standards are the examples that he sets, so they will become a standard for other people to follow. Lokastat anuvartate, such exemplary activities are followed by people in general. Fine? Arjuna, you are a very responsible, charismatic, popular, famous fighter. But if you don't fight in a battlefield like this, how will other people fight? So you should set the right example for people to follow. Fine? So a leader has to teach the public by his own personal practical behavior. It's the responsibility of leaders to teach people by personally following. A leader cannot teach people to stop smoking if he himself smokes. Okay? So, and his teaching should be based on scriptures also. He cannot say, okay, I'll teach something else. I'll teach them not to fight in the battlefield. Arjuna may say, no, no, no. You can't teach anything there whimsically according to your mentality. You have to teach what is prescribed in the scriptures. Okay? So, leader who acts whimsically deriding the scriptures is not a leader. One has to reject such kind of leaders. That's what Krishna says. So, he emphasizes the leader's responsibility. That's what is an acharya. Prabhupada writes here. 22nd sloka. Name parthasti kartavyam.
Name parthasti kartavyam.
Trishuloke shukinchana.
Trishuloke shukinchana.
Nanavaptam avaptavyam.
Nanavaptam avaptavyam.
Varta eva cha karmani.
Varta eva cha karmani.
Name partha asti kartavyam. Oh partha, oh Arjuna, I have no kartavya. Kartavya means I don't have any prescribed duty to follow. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is now describing himself as a person who is beyond the protocols, rules and regulations, do's and don'ts of this material realm. I have nothing to do. Name parthasi kartavyam trishu lokeshu kinchana. Okay, you may not have any kartavya in this place because you are a guest. When you go to your home, you may have a kartavya. No, in all the three worlds, in the entire universe, no one can tell me that I have to do something. I can do if I want. It's my ichha. But no one can dictate me. There's nothing prescribed. In the Vedas, it is mentioned. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has these duties. It's only mentioned that he will do like this, he will do like that. Nowhere it's mentioned he is obliged to do. He is duty bound to do like this. He may consider it his duty to protect his devotees. That's up to his magnanimity, his compassion, his love for his devotees. But he is not obliged to do any activity. Name parthasi kartavyam trishu lokeshu kinchana. Okay. Next is nana vaptam avaptavyam varta evacha karmani. Still I also perform in activities. And he also says, very interestingly, na anavaptam. Okay, anavaptam means wanted. So, it's not that I'm in want of something. Okay. And avaptavyam, it's not that I have to gain something. If you want something, you have to work to get it. Right, I'm not endeavoring to get anything. And I'm not in want of anything. He is real Atma Tripta, Atma Samtushta and Atma Rati. He is Atma Kam, Apta Kam, Atma Ram. So, but still, I am engaged in so many activities. Varta evacha karmani, I do so many karmas. Karma means activities here. I engage in prescribed duties. Because Krishna was playing the role of a Vaishya in Vrindavan. So he was herding cows and calves. And Krishna was playing the role of a Kshatriya in Mathura and Dwaraka. There also he was doing so many administrative activities and fighting with other Kshatriyas. So, and he took up the role of a householder as a husband of so many wives and father of so many children. So he is doing his household duties also perfectly. So he is setting proper example. He is getting up early in the morning. Fine. So, Tamishwaranam Paramam Maheshwaram Tam Devatanam Paramam Cha Daivatam Patim Patinam Paramam Parat. So basically, two verses Prabhupada quotes to describe that Krishna is beyond any such material obligations. He is the supreme cause of all causes. Nothing can cause him to work. Okay, you can go through them. So although Krishna is above all rules and regulations of revealed scriptures, he does not do anything that violates the scriptures. Fine. So he himself will follow to set an example for others. Next, 23 and 24 verses, Krishna describes, if he does not perform some prescribed duties according to whatever role he is playing currently in an incarnation, so what will happen? What will be the repercussions? Because earlier Krishna said, common people will follow great people. Okay? Now Krishna gave example of great people. Janaka Maharaj did, and I am also doing. And if great people do not follow certain prescribed duties or certain codes of conduct, what will happen to common people? That's what he says. So, 23rd shloka. Yadi yaham na varteyam jyatu karmanya tandritaha mama vartmanu vartante manushyaha partha sarvasah yadihi aham na varteyam. If I do not follow the prescribed duties, jatu karmani atandritaha. Okay, so if I do not follow this, karmani is prescribed duties, atandritaha means with great care if I don't follow, then what will happen? Krishna says, mama vartma anuvartante manushyaha partha sarvadha, everybody will follow me only. Okay, so Krishna is not doing this, I will also not do this. That's what they will say. I don't want that to happen. That's why I am doing all this, just to set an example for them. Krishna further says, utsideyur ime loka nakuryam karma chedaham sankarasya cha kartasyam upahanyam ima prajaha. If I do not perform my prescribed duties, all these worlds will be put into ruination. Okay, he said, utsidyayur. Utsidyayur means everything will be destroyed. What will be destroyed? Ime loka, all these universes, all these worlds. Na kuryam karma chet aham. If I do not perform the prescribed duties, the worlds will be put into ruination. They will get a very bad example. Sankarasya cha kartasyam upahanyam imah prajaha. So that would destroy the peace of living beings, and there will also be varna sankara, unwanted population. Okay. So when people do not align themselves with scriptural codes, people will be impelled to do some activity based on their sensual urges. Only two things can guide you. Number one, your own sense gratificatory desires. Number two, some standard protocols prescribed in the scriptures or authorities. So you have to abide by the rules and regulations set by a superior authority, or you follow your instincts like animals, right? So if you are not aligning yourself with certain protocols prescribed in the scriptures, any authority, but the best authority is scriptural authority. Okay, if one is not aligning there, then one will just follow whimsical things. So everybody aligns somewhere to some authority, whether it is scriptural authority or some managerial authority or some authority, and a part of that person also follows the instincts, okay, the sense gratificatory desires or whatever gives that person some kind of enjoyment that he need not be told. Okay, so if one predominantly operates on this only, okay, this is gratifying my senses, let me just do this only. Scriptures, I have nothing to do with them. Then it will, the whole world will be put into ruination. And the greatest urge for enjoyment lies in sex pleasure. So if Krishna does not follow scriptural procedures, right, scriptural prescriptions, and people will say, he is not following anyways, I can do anything I want. And the best thing that a person can do to get maximum sense gratification is sex pleasure, through which unwanted progeny will generate. There are so many, you can give list 100, but sex is most prominent thing that will put people into ruination. So, why is it so? Krishna will describe in the last section of this chapter. The last section of this chapter will exclusively describe about lust. Okay? And that uncontrolled material lust, which is not streamlined by scriptural injunctions, will cause unwanted progeny. Fine? So, the lawmaker is beyond the law. That is very clear. Krishna is the lawmaker. Krishna is the compiler of Vedanta. Vedaischa sarvair ahameva vedyo Vedanta krit veda videva chaham. So Krishna says, I am the compiler of Vedanta. I am the knower of Vedanta. By studying all Vedas, I am to be known. But I am following Vedas. Why don't you follow? You see, the object of Vedas, the compiler of Vedas, the knower of the Vedas, such a person is following the Vedic instructions. What's your problem? That's what Krishna says. So there is a difference between following and imitating. There are certain activities that Krishna does you cannot follow. Prabhupada writes, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. Okay. Okay, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. I will also go and lift some hill, which is next. You will break your back. Okay. So that you need not follow. Krishna's activities that resemble human beings, that you follow. Krishna's superhuman activities you cannot follow. Krishna's human activities only you can follow. Okay. Yan martya leela upayikam swayoga. Krishna does martya leela. Martya means one who is entitled to die. That's a human being. That refers to human being. So martya leela means Krishna performs activities as a human being. But Krishna sometimes performs activities that are superhuman also. Atimartyani, in the first canto you have seen. Gudaha kapata manushaha. Atimartyani bhagavan. Atimartya means superhuman. That you cannot follow. Fine? So there is a difference between following and imitating. So certain unconventional activities, even though Krishna does it, you cannot do it. He can dance with 16,000 girls or 1 billion gopis or whatever. But can you do it? No, I will also do it. I want to do it. At least, if not 16,000, at least 16 girls I will dance. But the condition is, you have to expand yourself into 16 forms and then dance. That I don't know. Then you don't do it. Okay? So point is, people selectively follow certain activities of great personalities or even God, and they selectively criticize. Okay, they criticize Ras Leela. But what about Krishna, who has given so much sari to Draupadi? What about that? Okay. So without having a sufficient understanding, which is scripture-based understanding and understanding based on Acharya's explanations, if one whimsically evaluates the Supreme Lord's leelas with one's own brain substance, one will end up offending the Lord. Okay. So, anyways, that's a bigger subject matter. So far in this section, we have seen that Krishna said a self-realized person need not work. Still, he works. Why? To set a right example for other people to follow. That's what he said in 17, 18 and 19 verses. So from the 20th verse till 24th verse, he said that there are examples like myself and Janaka Maharaj who perform prescribed duties to set example for common people. Okay, to follow. And if we don't follow like that, other people will be misguided, the whole world will be put into ruination, and there could be unwanted progeny also. Fine. Now, from the 25th verse onwards, Krishna distinguishes between performing work with attachment and with detachment. Krishna describes an attached worker and a detached worker. Or a karma kandi and a karma yogi. Karma kandi performs a sakama karma, He performs activities with expectation of results so that he can enjoy them. Such a person is called attached worker or sakama karmi or a karmakandi. And there are people who perform their prescribed duties with detachment and knowledge and maturity without any material desires. And for the sake of supreme, such people are called detached workers or karma yogis. Okay? So a karma yogi in the initial stages may not have sufficient detachment and knowledge, but if karma yogi becomes very mature by practice of karma yoga, he will develop all that. Okay? Let's see. 25th shloka. In the 24th purport, Prabhupada writes another example. Lord Shiva drank poison. You can't drink poison. So, artificially imitating certain activities of people, Prabhupada said here. 25th shloka. Saktaha karman avidvamso yatha kurvanti bharata kuryat vidvams tatha saktaha chikirshur loka sangraham. So saktaha karmani avidvamso. Vidvamsa means a learned person, an intelligent person, a knowledgeable person. A jnani is vidvamsa. Avidvamsa means opposite, an ignorant person. Clear? Saktam karmani avidvamso. An avidvamsa or an ignorant person, he performs activities sakta with attachment to results. Fine? So saktam karma saktaha karmani avidvamso yatha kurvanti bharata kuryad vidvams tatha asaktaha chikirshur loka sangraham. But for an asakta, but for a vidvamsa, a detached worker, he performs also actions with detachment so that other people can follow them. To set the right example, that's what he said. Chikirshur loka sangraham, to teach common people. Is it clear? So this one verse is describing how an attached worker works and how a detached worker works. An attached worker works for the sake of sense gratification with attachment to results. A detached worker works with detachment and to set an example for common people to follow. Okay? So now Krishna further elaborates all this. 26th. Nabuddhi vedam janayet ajnanam karma sanginam joshayet sarva karmani vidvan yuktaha samacharan nabuddhi vedam janayet ajnanam karma sangraham. So this 26th verse and 29th verse, which is coming very soon, these two verses have a similar theme. Okay, what is that? Na buddhi bhedam janaye. There are some people who have a different intelligence. Buddhi bhedam are ignorant people. So people who are in knowledge do not unnecessarily disturb such people. You are not ready to do any detached work. So why should I force him? That's what these intelligent people will think. So bewildered by the modes of material nature, see, ajnanam karma sanginam means people are attached to their fruitive results. So joshayet sarva karmani, they perform all kinds of activities. Okay, the ignorant people, and they become attached to results also. But the wise people do not disturb them, do not unsettle them. Okay. So, rather, what do? They personally do the prescribed duties and they set an example. Now, you tell them, you should lift the table like this. Lift it like this with two hands and then keep it there. Okay. So, other person may not be able to follow it. Two hands like this, where should I catch? There is no handle there. So, like that he will have 100 questions in the mind. But if you go there and you lift it the way you want him to lift it and then put it there, even without you telling also, he may see and one day he will do it. Okay. So, intelligent people, if they see that ignorant people are just innocent, they will go and teach them directly. But if they see that these ignorant people are arrogant also, they are not in a position to listen to us, they are not willing to listen to us, they don't disturb them. They allow them to continue and they inspire them from a distance by they themselves following it properly. Okay? So, now, although Krishna said like this, but our glorious acharyas have more compassionate outlook of these things. Okay? Krishna conscious preacher, he wants to disturb even the ignorant people also. Okay? So, her ninth offense is there. If you should not distribute holy name to people who are very envious and all that. So, but still, a devotee tries to find out ways and means by which even such people also may get inspired. To what degree you will do it depends on your own bandwidth and your own personal preference, by the way. And what method will work will also depend on time, place, circumstances and people. But devotees, because of their compassionate hearts, they cannot afford to see an ignorant person struggling without Krishna consciousness. They want to give them Krishna consciousness, somehow or the other. So, oh, he's ignorant, let me not answer till him. I'll just look in this direction, I'll go somewhere else. That may be practical, but very compassionate devotees, they also find some ways and means, okay, how I can catch this person also. They keep thinking like this. So one day, they will approach him in a certain way and then they will influence such people also. Okay? So, ignorant people cannot appreciate the activities in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Krishna advises not to disturb them, simply to waste valuable time. However, devotees understand the Lord's purpose. Ultimately, Krishna will be happy if you somehow or the other inspire such people also. Okay? They approach ignorant men also and try to engage them in Krishna consciousness. Somebody may be very arrogant. You are doing book distribution and then that person is not willing to take. One way is you may chastise them and then come back. Second way is you may avoid them and then go somewhere else. Another way is, oh, he is not taking book. Let me just give him some prasad. You give him some prasad. And then he may open up little bit. And then you try to say something. And even if he doesn't say anything also, even if he doesn't reciprocate with you also, if he still maintains the same mood also, at least he took some prasad. That will be purifying him little bit. So like that, somehow or the other, devotees try to instill some Krishna consciousness even in ignorant people. And they try to unsettle them in that way. But Krishna said that, okay, don't disturb them so much. They are not ready for it yet. He continued. Fine. And another perspective given by acharyas, especially Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur here is, jnana depends on the purity of heart. And purity of heart depends on acting without desires. Means if you perform your prescribed duty without any material expectations, that will purify your heart. And in such a pure heart, you will develop knowledge, jnana. So jnana is dependent on purity of heart in one sense. But bhakti is not dependent on purity of heart also. Fine. Mrigari, how impure his heart was in one sense when he was killing animals. Okay, half dead. And it is his greatest pleasure to enjoy seeing the pain of a half-dead animal. Rabbit or hog or a deer. He is not completely killing them. And the rabbit is crying out of intense pain and this fellow is laughing. He is rejoicing within. Even such people also could be influenced by bhakti. When a pure devotee like Narada Muni goes there. When Narada Muni went and asked Mrigari, just approached Mrigari, Mrigari got irritated. So he was so irritated, Narada Muni, why did you come here? Oh, Narada Muni, he doesn't know the name. Oh, Sadhu, Maharaj, why did you come this side? Just by seeing you, all my animals started running away. Why did you come this side? then Narada Muni, and he actually, Murugari wanted to use very abusive language and criticize and chastise Narada Muni, but because of Narada Muni's strong spiritual presence there, no abusive words came out of his mouth. He just questioned like this, why did you come this side? Just like that. For such a cruel hunter, just to stop at this one word is a big thing. But Narada Muni's presence made him so. And Narada Muni slowly tricked him and then made him chant Hare Krishna. And he is not even, he is so hesitant even to step on some ants also. He was so careful there. Okay. So, bhakti does not depend on purity of heart. So, devotees approach people in general and then try to give them Krishna consciousness somehow or the other. So, although the verse itself says, Krishna said it in 26th verse also, Krishna said it in 29th verse also, don't unsettle the people in general. They are too ignorant, they cannot handle it. Fine? Next, 27th shloka.
प्रकृतेः क्रियमाणानि
गुणैः
कर्माणि
सर्वशः
अहंकारविमूढात्मा
कर्ताहम्
इति मन्यते.
Earlier in the 26th verse, Krishna said about people in general who are too ignorant. How ignorant are they? Krishna describes further in this verse. What is the nature of their ignorance? So he thinks that he is a doer. That is the ignorance that they are having. An ignorant person is specifically characterized by his doership mentality. I am the doer of everything. That's what he thinks.
Prakritehi kriyamanani gunaihi karmani sarvashaha.
Although all the activities are actually being carried out by the three modes of material nature,
gunaihi karmani sarvashah,
still ahankara vimudhatma, because of this fellow's bewilderment, because of false ego, karta aham iti manyate, he considers himself to be the doer. I am the karta. He thinks like that. That is the specific characteristic of his ignorance, doership mentality. So the free will and responsibility of a jiva will never disappear. However, the jiva's doership is made possible by the body, senses and life affairs, and by the Paramatma, who is the activator of all things. So, now we understand, in this shloka, Krishna said that prakritehi kriyamanani, everything is done by prakriti, but prakriti is not the only doer. Even jiva also is a doer. But what is his ignorance? If he is thinking he is the doer, what's wrong? Jiva is also one of the doers. Point is, karta aham, I am the only doer. He is doer because he is desiring to do. He is the doer in the capacity of a desirer. But the ultimate doer is Supreme Lord because he sanctions it. And there is another doer, that is Prakriti, who facilitates it. For any act to happen, there should be a person who desires, there should be another factor who sanctions, there should be another factor who facilitates. Just by the desire, everything will not happen. So if you are doing an activity, you are desiring to do, but the ingredients for you to do that activity are supplied by Prakriti. And the permission for you to do that activity is given by the Supreme Lord and His representatives. So you are not the only doer, but you think, I am the only doer, and you want credit for everything that you do. That is ignorance. Fine? So, now, you may do an activity, and that could be a material activity or a spiritual activity. If you are doing a material activity, that means you are misusing the God-given independence or free will. Because free will is always there. One has to responsibly utilize that free will to perform spiritual activities. But if someone irresponsibly utilizes it to perform material activities, Krishna will do the needful. Okay. So, that is about this verse, Prakritehi Kriyamanani verse. Next, 28th shloka.
తత్వవిత్తు మహాబాహో గుణకర్మ విభాగయో గుణాగుణేషు వర్తంత ఇతి మత్వా న సజ్జతే. సో తత్వవిత్తు మహాబాహో, తత్వవిత్, తత్వ మీన్స్ ట్రూత్, తత్వవిత్ మీన్స్ వన్ హూ నోస్ ద ట్రూత్ ప్రాపర్లీ. తత్వవిత్తు మహాబాహో గుణకర్మ విభాగయో. సో ఎ పర్సన్ హూ ఇస్ ఇన్ నాలెడ్జ్, సో ఎ పర్సన్ హూ ఇస్ ఇన్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఆఫ్ ది అబ్సల్యూట్ ట్రూత్, దట్ ఈస్ పరమతత్వ పరతత్వ అబ్సల్యూట్ ట్రూత్, అండర్స్టాండ్స్ దట్ హీ సపరేట్ ఫ్రమ్ ద సెన్సెస్ అండ్ ద సెన్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్. యు సీ, గుణకర్మ విభాగయో గుణాగుణేషు వర్తంత. ఇఫ్ యు అండర్స్టాండ్ దట్ ఐఎమ్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫ్రమ్ ది సెన్సెస్ అండ్ ద సెన్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్, I am separately situated as a part and parcel of Krishna and whatever, then he knows the differences between working in devotion and working in fruitive results. So if he identifies himself as a spirit soul separate from this material senses and sense objects, he tries to act on a spiritual platform. But if a person identifies himself with the material senses and sense objects, then he does material work, and because of that he will be entangled in that work also. There will be bondage. That's what he says, iti matva na sajjate. If you understand yourself to be different from senses and sense objects, you will not be bound, otherwise you will be bound. Fine. So the knower of the absolute truth is convinced of his awkward position in material association. Okay. So further purposes, according to Bhagavatam, one who knows the absolute truth in three stages, man, namely Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, he is the real knower. He is called Tattvavit. 29th verse. Prakriter guna sammoodhah sajjante guna karmasu tana krishna vidho mandan krishna vinna vichalayet. Again, Krishna brings up this, bewildered by the modes of nature, the ignorant fully engage themselves in material activities and become attached. Okay, but the wise should not unsettle them, although these duties are inferior due to the performance lack of knowledge. Fine, a person is doing inferior duties because of ignorance and material attachment, still wise people should not go and unsettle them. Whatever Krishna said in 26th verse, he repeated in 29th verse again. Fine. But we also discussed that devotees even try to approach such people also and try to give them Krishna consciousness, okay, as much as possible. And Prabhupada also mentions about the nature of Kali Yuga people, Manda, Sumanda, Matayo, Manda, Bhagya, etc. Men who are ignorant cannot appreciate activities in Krishna consciousness, and therefore Lord Krishna advises us not to disturb them because it simply wastes time. But the devotees of the Lord are more kind than the Lord because they understand the purpose of the Lord. The Lord says, oh, you devotees, don't disturb them, they are ignorant people, don't waste your time. But Lord wants even these ignorant people also should become devotees. Devotees understand this. Oh, Krishna wants them. So we should do something to bring them to Krishna's lotus feet. If it wastes your time, it's okay. Let's spend some time and energy to bring in them to Krishna consciousness. That's what is the mode of a devotee. Very beautiful attitude of a devotee. So that completes this section of an attached worker and detached worker. Essentially, attached worker performs activities with the mentality of enjoying the results. But a detached worker performs activities in a mode of detachment. Fine? As an offering to Krishna, to set an example for others. These are his motives in performing work. But he himself has nothing to gain from that work. So such a person is called Karma Yogi. Clear? So, now from the 30th verse onwards, Krishna describes how one has to work for him. Fine. So I think we can start this in the next session, because it will take some time. It's already 12 o'clock. Okay, we'll conclude here. Thank you all very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.